Words from the Lord Jesus as he preached his Sermon on the Mount. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And today, I want to call you to Lily Living. Lily Living. And we look today at Matthew chapter 6. We began last Sunday a new series of sermons entitled Things to Consider. Things to Consider. And at that time I told you that the word consider means to think carefully. It means to ponder thoughtfully. And the Bible uses this word consider many times. And there are several things indeed that we need to ponder carefully and thoughtfully. And last week we considered the ant, and today we consider the lily. Now I hope that I can get you to be interested in this series of messages. I want, if at all possible, to keep you from experiencing an enormous tragedy. And some of you are perhaps inclined to dismiss that and say, well, that's just preacher talk. There is an immense tragedy that awaits those who do not ponder things carefully and thoughtfully. Can you imagine coming to life's end and standing before God and having the shocking realization dawn upon you that you passed all through life without really having pondered the things that matter most? And I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, that we are becoming slaves to the trivial. And we're occupied with things that don't last. And we need to ponder those things that are substantial. Those things that have eternal ramifications. Those things that have eternal implications. Now, how about you this morning? Have you thought about anything today of any real importance? I know you're all busy people. And I know what many people have to go through on Sunday morning. And I know that some of you have been trying to make all the ends meet and been trying to get your day planned. And I just ask you again, have you thought about anything important today? Have you really pondered anything of real significance? Or have you this day been enslaved and shackled by the trivial? Well, now, some of you may be inclined to say, well, now, Pastor, I, in all modesty, have to say that I am not of a scholarly bent. I'm not any kind of scholar, and here you are asking me to think deeply. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, as I read the Scriptures, I do not find the Bible telling us to buy all the volumes of learned people and to studiously go through those volumes and consider these things. Now, I have nothing, as you might suppose, against the writing of books. And I've got nothing against the reading of books. In fact, I want to encourage all of you to be great readers, okay? Those of us who write books like to have readers. And I often lament that I got into writing the same time everybody else got out of reading. And that's a terrible thing. But I do not find the Bible saying, consider all the volumes written by the great academicians of human history. No, the Bible says, consider the ant, as we noted last Sunday. You can do that, can't you? And the Bible says here, in the passage we read a moment ago, consider the lilies. You can do that, can't you? And so Jesus here is, and Scripture in general, is calling us not to some sort of scholarly endeavor. What I'm saying is you don't have to have big brains in order to do what the Bible tells us to do when it uses this word consider. You can be of modest intelligence and you can think deeply. In fact, the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, there are people with very great intelligence who have absolutely no understanding whatsoever when it comes to spiritual things. And their brains get in their way. They are so proud of themselves and their intellects that they think they're above all this. And they won't listen to the Word of God and what it has to say. You don't have to have big brains to do what the Bible tells us to do when it uses this word, consider. Now today, we come here to this wonderful part of the Word of God. And it is a wonderful part indeed. Here's the greatest preacher of all times, preaching the greatest sermon of all times. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ preaching His Sermon on the Mount. And as He moves to the middle part of this sermon, He points to the wildflowers out there in the field. And yes, that is the type of flower that He had in mind when He said the lilies. He was talking not about what we associate that word with. He was talking about the wildflowers out there in the field. And He pointed His disciples to those wildflowers and He said, look at those. He said, you are My disciples. And I want you now to become disciples of the lilies, disciples of the wildflowers. Learn from them. Ponder them. Consider them. I think it is important, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to emphasize this, that Jesus delivered this sermon on the Mount to His disciples. He's talking here to His people. Talking to His people. If you look back there at chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, you'll see that quite clearly. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them. He was teaching His disciples. Now, the multitudes were there. And yes, I think they were doing on that occasion as they so often did when Jesus was teaching His disciples. They lingered around the edges, so to speak. They stood there on the fringes and they listened in. But Jesus was primarily zeroing in on His disciples. And so when we come here to this sixth chapter and the closing verses of this sixth chapter, and we find Jesus saying, consider the lilies, we need to have clearly in mind that Jesus was talking primarily to His people. And the Lord Jesus, through this passage of Scripture, speaks to us today. I wish I could go through this congregation and call each of you by name, just so I could drive this point home to you and say with your name, Jesus is speaking to you through this passage of Scripture. And the Lord Jesus is telling each one of us today, consider the lilies. Consider the lilies. Now, I have divided my message for you today in two parts, and I want to answer two questions. The first question I want to answer is this. What is lily living? What is lily living? And then the second question is, how can we become lily livers? How can we become lily livers? And those are the two questions I want to answer. And so we deal with this first matter. What is lily living? And I can answer that by saying, ladies and gentlemen, that lily living is anxiety-free living. Anxiety-free living. John, I'm so grateful that we sang a while ago, and my, what hymns you chose today. I almost feel that I need to sit down and we just repeat these songs again. What a glorious time of worship we've had today. What great hymns. And the choir was indeed in fine form, and this orchestra blesses my soul. And we sang this song, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. And that's essentially what lily living is. It's believing so firmly in the care of God for His people that you're free from anxiety. That's easy to sing the song, isn't it? God will take care of you. It's hard to do the living. And yet that's lily living. It's believing so strongly that God will take care of His people, that we, His people, are freed from anxiety. Now, I think I can tell you a little bit about the background here of these words that I read to you a moment ago from this sixth chapter of Matthew. I think Jesus was a keen observer of men. Nothing escaped His attention. Now, you can get things by me, but you couldn't have gotten anything by Jesus. Jesus was a reader of men. You turn on your television sets and you find, and I think it may have been a black day for America whenever we decided that we just couldn't have the news, but we had to have the analysis to go along with the news. And the problem is the analysis is always coming from certain people who have certain views, and these people are eager to force their views off on the rest of us. And so their analysis is kind of slanted, you see. And these people try to analyze various events, and I say to you that sometimes they miss the mark, but Jesus, as He read His congregation, never missed the mark. As He read the events of the day, He never missed the mark. And as Jesus surveyed the people around Him, He noticed that they were anxiety-ridden people. Anxiety-ridden people. And as we find here in the Sermon on the Mount, they were caught up in stewing and fretting over certain things. What were they stewing over? What were they fretting about? Well, look there at your 25th verse, and there again at your 31st verse. They were stewing over, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? One preacher said they had become slaves to the secular trinity. Food, drink, clothing. And they were also, if you look down here at verse 34, I think you have to say, in light of that verse, they were also so obsessed with tomorrow. What's tomorrow going to bring? What are we going? Are we going to have food tomorrow? Are we going to have something to drink tomorrow? Are we going to have something to wear tomorrow? Now, this Sermon on the Mount, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the Lord Jesus giving the charter of His kingdom, we might say. And I can tell you the theme of this Sermon on the Mount. The theme of it is this. Are you listening? The citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ are not to be like everyone else. They're to be different. They're to be different. They're to be different. And oh, it's a lamentable thing these days that so many leaders in the church have decided that the church must become like the world. And the glory of Christianity is not in how much like the world it can be. The glory of Christianity is that it's not like the world. It's different. And it's totally different. Radically different. Now, the Lord Jesus here was saying, and here he goes right down the line. He begins his Sermon on the Mount and he says, I want you to be different in this respect. I want you to be different in this respect. I want you to be different in this respect. And now he's come down here to this matter of the cares of life. And he says, I want you, my people, to be different in your attitude toward the cares of life. And while those around you are anxiety-ridden, I want you to be free of anxiety. And I want you to believe firmly that your Heavenly Father will take care of you. He'll take care of you. And to drive this point home, the Lord Jesus points His disciples. We're talking about the lilies. The Lord Jesus used two illustrations. He pointed to the birds of the air. He said, look at them. They're not anxious. He said, the Heavenly Father takes care of the birds. He'll take care of you. Have you ever seen an anxious bird? Have you ever read in the TV guide, worried birds speak out on Oprah Winfrey? Of course not. And the Lord Jesus says, look at the birds. Here you are worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. He said the birds of the air are cared for by the Heavenly Father. And then he points to his disciples by way of further illustration to those wildflowers out there in the field. And he says, look at those flowers, how beautifully arrayed they are. And he said, the Heavenly Father takes care of those flowers. He takes care of them. And he says, he said here, even Solomon, he picked the king of Israel with the which they were most likely to associate great splendor and glory. I mean, Solomon stood above all the other kings of Israel in terms of glory and splendor. And Jesus says, even Solomon, in all of his glory, in all the beauty of his royal robes, he could not compare to the beauty of those flowers out there in the field. God takes care of those flowers, just as God takes care of the birds of the air. Now, perhaps you are saying, well, how does God take care of the lilies? What is the great lesson that we're to learn from the lilies? What is lily living, in other words? And I want to put it to you like this. God sustains the lilies through the means that He has established for them for the time that He has appointed for them. Now, that's the lesson we're to learn from the lilies. Do you have it? God, through the means that He has established, sustains the lilies for the time that He has appointed. And the great lesson that you and I are to carry away is this, that God, the same God who through the means He has established cares for the lilies until for as long as He has appointed, that same God will care for us, careful now, through the means that He has established for us. And for the time that He has appointed for us upon this earth. Now, I want to insist that God cares for the lilies through certain means. I mean, the lilies have roots and they draw nutrients from the soil and that sort of thing. And God has established certain means for us. Now, don't take the lilies to mean, well, I don't have to do anything. God's going to care for me. If I just sit in my living room, God will drop a Big Mac on my head every day. That's not what this passage is saying. And when Jesus says here that they neither toil nor spin, He's not saying that they do not use means. As I said, the lilies have certain means. They've got roots. There's moisture in the ground. There are nutrients in the soil. And those through those roots, the lilies draw the what they need for sustenance. That's the means God's established. for them. And God has established certain means for you and for me. And if you and I, as God's people, will diligently use the means that God has given for us, God will meet every single need that we have. He'll meet every single need we have. Now, if you don't, may I just use the parlance of the world? If you don't use the means, all bets are off. If you're out here suffering because you're not willing to use the means God's established for you and you're not willing to put forth any effort, all bets are off. God's not obligated. But God, if you will use the means He's established, will provide your needs. He'll take care of you. That's literally living, is to believe that God will do this. And the argument here, you see, is from the lesser to the greater. You see how Jesus is proceeding here? He's arguing from the lesser to the greater. What I mean to say is this. He says to His disciples, look at those lilies. Now, if your Heavenly Father would do this for the lilies, if He will care for those lilies, don't you know that you're far more valuable to Him than lilies? And if he does that for lilies, He'll do that for you. He'll take care of you. He's arguing from the less to the greater. If He does that for the birds, He'll do that for you. If He takes care of them, He'll take care of you. Because you are of more value than the birds. It's the argument from lesser to the greater. And you might be saying to me, well, Pastor, how do we know that we're of more value to God than the lilies? Well, I should think it'd be obvious. One thing is God made us in His image. He didn't make the lilies in His image. And furthermore, when the Lord Jesus went there to Calvary's cross, He didn't die for lilies. He died for His people. Do you question whether we're of more value than the lilies? Well, this is a wonderful, heartwarming portion of the Word of God. God will take care of you. He'll take care of you. Now, He may not give you everything you want. He's not sworn to do that. But He'll give you what you need. He'll give you what you need. He'll sustain you through this life. And the psalmist celebrated this. You know, the psalmist said, I once was young. Boy, I can identify with this verse. And now I'm old. And he said, I've not yet seen the righteous forsaken. And God will not forsake you. And I've not seen His seed begging bread. If you'll use the means God's established for you, God will take care of you. And He'll do so all through life. Now, this doesn't mean that God's going to prolong your life endlessly upon this earth. The lilies didn't live forever. God appointed the time for them, and then the time came to an end. And God's appointed the time for you upon this earth. The promise is that if you'll use the means God's established for you, God will take care of you for the time that He has given you upon this earth. And then, my friends, rejoice in this. When your time is over upon this earth, child of God, God will begin to take care of you even more lavishly and abundantly than He has ever cared for you before. And you'll be received into realms of glory. And even though this is a heartwarming passage of Scripture now, there are people who, they kind of quarrel with it. They don't like it very much. Some would like for Jesus to have said something quite different here. Jesus pointed them to the lilies, and He said, even as God sustains the lilies through the means that He has established for them, for the time that He has appointed for them, so God will sustain His people through the means He has established for them, for the time that He has appointed for them. But there are some people who would like for Jesus to have said something quite different here. They would like for you to trust God, and nothing unpleasant or uncomfortable will ever come your way. And that's not what he says. That's not what he says. He doesn't say, trust your Heavenly Father, and your Heavenly Father will see to it that nothing uncomfortable comes your way. Now, some of you are facing some uncomfortable things. Some of you are in the midst of unpleasant circumstances. And I know your question. I'm your pastor. You hammer me with this question from time to time. You say, Pastor, why? Why is God allowing this to come my way? He promised to take care of me. And here I am facing this. Here I am facing that. Why? Why? And my friends, I tell you that when God promised to take care of you, He was not promising to make life convenient and easy and to remove all the difficulty. You have to understand the purpose of God for His people. Okay? Most of you here are parents. You shouldn't have any trouble at all understanding what I'm about to say here about the purpose of God for His people. Now, I think every parent worth his salt, when he launches out onto the sea of parenting, has to ask himself a fundamental question. What is it that I'm trying to achieve as the parent of this child? Now, I know there are some people who don't do that. And I say, shame on you. I said last Sunday, there's some people, life just kind of happens to them. They're kind of like a goose in the fog. Here they are just going along, and life just kind of happens, and then it's over. And they're at the end saying, what was that all about? A lot of people live that way. They never think about anything. A lot of people don't think about parenting. Every parent worthy soul, at one time or another, and I hope very early in the process of parenting, had to ask this question, what is my purpose in parenting this child? And I can imagine my dad standing back there many years ago now, and there he is holding me in his arms. And I can imagine my dad raising this question, now what's my purpose with this child? And I can tell you how my dad did not answer that question. My dad did not say, my purpose is to make life just as convenient and comfortable and easy for this boy as I possibly can. He didn't answer it that way. My dad had this view that his purpose as a parent was to mature this little child into a responsible man who would contribute something to the kingdom of God and something to society in general. Now, your purpose is absolutely crucial for your practice. You understand what I'm saying. If you decide as a parent that your purpose in parenting is to make life just convenient for that child, and some people seem to have done this, you're going to take a quite different approach to parenting than you are if you decide your purpose in parenting is to raise a responsible, mature adult who can contribute something to the kingdom of God and to society. You're going to have to take a completely different approach if that is your purpose than you are if your purpose is nothing more than to make life easy for your child. And I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that God has a higher purpose for us, His people, than to simply make life convenient and comfortable and easy. I say to you, God's purpose for us is to use us to bring honor and glory to His name and to fit us for glory. And that requires Him to take a completely different approach in His dealings with us than He would have to take if He were just trying to make life easy for us. And so here you are facing this trial. Here you are facing this difficulty. You're trying to figure it out. I want to say to you, don't rack your brains too much, because you'll never have all the answers in this life. We've thought oftentimes about that old song, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But thank God for the rest of it. He'll guide us with His eye. And we'll follow till we die. And we'll understand it better by and by. What I am saying to you is this. Yes, God allows difficulties to come into the lives of His children, but in allowing those difficulties to come into the lives of His children, He's achieving a great purpose for them. And the fact that He allows difficulties to come into their lives does not mean for one moment that He does not care for His children. The lilies speak to us today and they say, God will take care of you. And the fact that you're facing a hardship today, the fact that you're in the middle of a bewildering circumstances, does not for one moment mean that God is not taking care of you. I would have you to believe today that the difficulty of your circumstances are not proof that God is not taking care of you, but they're proof that He is taking care of you. Now, I appeal again to parents, and you, dear parents, know what this is all about. There have been times that you've had to put your child through anguish and pain. And the child didn't understand, and the child cried out with agony. And your heart broke as you heard that child crying. And yet you took that child to the doctor and you got his shots. You may have taken him to the hospital and seen him go off into the surgery wing. Why? Was it because you didn't care for your child? No, it's because you did care for your child. And I say to you, when God brings spiritual surgery into your life through the difficulty of your circumstances, it's not because He has ceased to care for you. It's because He cares for you so very much. And you have to believe that. Because if you can't believe that, you're going to be in a very difficult situation indeed. And your circumstances may drive you mad. If you cannot believe that your circumstances, no matter how painful they are, come to you from the hand of a loving Father who knows better than you and who has your very best interest at heart. Consider the lilies. Through the lilies, God says, I'll take care of you. I will use the means that I have appointed for you. And I will sustain your life upon this world, upon this earth, until it's time for you to leave this world. And then I'll receive you into realms of glory. You can't beat that deal. What a God we have. How good our God is. Well, that's a little bit about what it is to be involved in lily living. What is lily living? It's believing God will take care of you. It's not allowing your circumstances to dictate otherwise. It's believing that God will take care of His people through the means that He has established for them. It's not being caught up with the secular trinity, food and drink and clothing. It's anxiety-free living. And oh, if God's people could live with anxiety-free living, how powerfully we could speak to those around us who are filled with anxiety. And the Lord Jesus says here three times. There in verse 25, He says, do not worry. He says it again in verse 31, do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry. He calls these people to lily living. And lily living is not being anxiety ridden. It's trusting the Heavenly Father to do what's best in our lives. To use the means He's established to sustain us all life through. Now, that leaves me just a few minutes to talk about how to become lily livers. How to become lily livers. You may be thinking of the old Western where one guy looks at another and he says, you lily-livered coward. Well, I'm not calling you today to be cowards. Quite the opposite. God's people have been cowards long enough. I'm calling you, though, to live like the lily. And how do we become lily livers? Let me just draw here from these verses of Scripture and suggest three things, some of which I have already alluded to. One thing I find there in verse 27, and that is, you need to recognize the futility of worry. You heard about the fellow who joined the Don't Worry Club. And after he joined, he wrote these lines: I've joined the new Don't Worry Club, and now I hold my breath. I'm so afraid I'll worry that I'm worried half to death. And that's the way some of you are. You worry, 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 and then you hear a sermon like this and you worry about worrying. And verse 27 speaks to you and it says, you need to realize the futility of worry. Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? There's some things in life that can't be changed. There's no need to worry about them. You can't, by worrying, add one cubit to your stature. Those of you who've spent your lives worrying, what do you got to show for it? You haven't freed your days from trouble, but you've added trouble to your days. There's a futility here. There are some things that simply cannot be changed. No need to worry. There's no need to worry about the things that can be changed. My goodness, if something needs to be changed and can be changed, go after it. Get it done. Change it. Don't worry about it. And so there's no space for worry. Things that can't be changed, don't worry about them. Things that can be changed, don't worry about them. Don't worry. Worry is absolutely futile and inadequate for dealing with the problems of life. I won't say much more about this. Here's another thing, though, that we need to remember if we're to become lily livers. Not only are we to recognize the futility of worry, but we are to remember God is indeed our Heavenly Father. I love this great Sermon on the Mount because the Lord Jesus here frequently refers to God as the Heavenly Father of His people. There it is in verse 26. Your Heavenly Father feeds the birds, He says. There it is in verse 32. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Oh, if you want to live like the lily, you need to remember that you've got a Father in heaven. And you can come to Him and say, Our Father who art in heaven, and be speaking the truth. Child of God, you've got a Father in heaven. And I've already talked about how He cares for you. And I know some of you are in such difficult circumstances and such dire straits that you might feel like challenging that. And you may say, Pastor, how do I know that God cares for me, even though I'm His child? And I cite again what I've said so very often from this pulpit. And that is that God answered once and for all whether He cares for His people when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross. If He would do that for you, don't ever doubt that He cares for you. And then I just close by giving you another way to become a lily liver. And I'm looking at verse 33, where we're told, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let your worries be lost in a higher priority. Your worries be lost in life's supreme priority. What is life's supreme priority? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Living for God. That's life's supreme priority. Seeking that kingdom, finding it, and then putting it first in your life. I mentioned to the 8 o'clock congregation this morning the account of a man who was flying in a small plane years and years and years ago over the Atlantic. And as he was flying along, he heard a strange sound. And he listened very carefully, trying to identify this sound that he was hearing. thinking perhaps he had mechanical problems. And as he listened, he realized he had another passenger on board. He realized the sound that he was hearing was a rat gnawing through the lines, the electrical lines of the airplane. And he had a problem. No place to land. No place to deplane the rat. And he thought, if this rat chews through my lines, I'm going to crash. What am I going to do? And then he thought about this matter for a while, and he realized that rats are subterranean or terrestrial creatures. And so he decided that he would fly higher. And he rose another 1,000 feet, another 1,000, another 1,000, got up over 20,000 feet, and the gnawing stopped. And when he finally landed, he looked under the cockpit, and sure enough, there was a dead rat. Now here's the message. If you want to kill the rats of anxiety, you need to fly higher. You need to fly higher. And you fly higher by doing as Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's bow together for prayer.